Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. We're going to be looking in God's Word this morning about our Heavenly Father. We've been dwelling in the Sermon of the Mount for quite some time now. And what does this topic have to do with the Sermon of the Mount? Well, there's a lot it has to do with the Sermon of the Mount. This isn't going to be like part, whatever was it? This isn't part 17, but it does go along with the Sermon of the Mount. So if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, please. We're going to dance around Matthew a little bit here this morning. Matthew chapter 6. A very familiar section of Scripture to us all. And Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. He's talking about prayer. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to" who? "Thy Father," your Father, "which is in secret, and thy Father, your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need before you ask him." After this manner, and he's not saying, memorize this so you can recite this. It's after this manner, therefore pray. Pray ye. Do you see that ye? That's you plural. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," or "let us hallow thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." So he teaches his disciples after this manner to pray. And how does Jesus teach his disciples to address God? "Our Father, our Father." That's how Jesus taught his disciples the appellation, I guess is the word, the title, the designation for God, "our Father, our Father." And he is teaching them to have that heart when approaching God in prayer, to approach him as their Father. Now, this is not a new thing necessarily. You can see in the Old Testament where Israel, where God presented himself as a father to Israel. You can see that, I think it's like 14 times or so. I was looking at the word because I was, you know, originally I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, I think Jesus is the one who really introduced God as Father. And then I see this in the Old Testament. But he is introducing or teaching them, when you approach him in prayer, it's your Father. Your Father. And it's all through this Sermon of the Mount, we're going to see how many times Jesus refers to God as Father, as Father. It's not just this prayer, but there's lots of other places that we have been to where you see your Father, God as Father. So, if you would, Let's go back to chapter 5. We're going to look at some of these. Chapter 5. Verse 16. And you can remember us going over this stuff. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse 45. Well, you probably have to read 44 to get the gist of this. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of who? Your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain unto the just and the unjust. Look at verse 48. Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms or your giving, your gifts, before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of who? Your Father. Verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Look at verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into the closet. We just read this. Pray to thy Father, your Father, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You see, well, it's just not Father, but it's your Father. Over and over. And this is all through this wonderful teaching, this Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, the King, is proclaiming the ways of the kingdom. And over it involves our Heavenly Father, your Father. And he's teaching this to them. Verse 8, be not therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, our Father. Look at verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, your Father, which is in secret, thy Father, your Father, which seeth secret, shall reward thee openly. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Isn't that something? And then we get to chapter 7, where we pretty much ended up the last time we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This one is, he's talking about his Father. It's interesting, in the Gospel of John, where he talks about God being my Father and your Father, my God and your God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our God and our Father. So this concept of Jesus talking about God as your Father in the first person, your Father, it's a possession that he belongs to you. He's your Father. It's not like a brand new thing, because like I said, you can look in the Old Testament and you can see Israel, God being introduced or as the father of Israel, the father of Ephraim. You can see that in places in Isaiah and other places. But do you know what? Like all the other topics and things that Jesus Christ is opening up to them in the Sermon on the Mount, was there grace in the Old Testament? Yes. Anything like the grace that we see now in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He elevates it. Was there love in the Old Testament? Yes. Did Jesus Christ elevate an understanding of what love is in this Sermon on the Mount and in other teachings? Yeah, he elevates everything. And including this concept of God being Father, it's elevated to a personal, intimate relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. I found it interesting this week because I can. I went through and I looked at the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to God, to his Father. And do you know how he addressed God in his prayers? His direct address to God? Father. Father. And it's so interesting. We have the right, because of Christ Jesus, to address God directly as Father. And not just Father, but our Father. A person can call someone Father that's not the Father, a Father. Or can call someone Dad who's not their Dad. And it doesn't have the same ring as when someone who is their child, referring to them as Father. There's a lot of rights and privileges in being a child to approach their Father. It's a title. It's a designation. But it's a designation and a title for a relationship. And Jesus Christ is making this known. So much we saw that throughout the Sermon of the Mount. So when we have our prayers, we're going to look at some of these prayers where Jesus is addressing God, where he's praying. And you know, some scholars will say, well, you know, there are places where he addresses him as God. For example, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that where he really thinks that God forsook him? What is that referring to? Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 was a messianic psalm that described his crucifixion. It's interesting. Jesus Christ started his words on the cross with Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, for this purpose, right? No. Why hast thou forsaken me? There's other teachings out there, but it is, why hast thou forsaken me? Because it is Psalm 22. He started that psalm. A rabbi would start a psalm, and his pupils were to then finish the rest of the psalm. They were supposed to recite the rest of the psalm. Jesus Christ started that psalm. He lived that psalm, and his final words concluded that psalm. But when Jesus was praying to God, he addressed him as Father, and you and I have that privilege, and might I say, that responsibility, to be able to address God as Father, our Father. When we're one-on-one with God, my Father. When we're together, it's ours. But it's Father. And in that very name, Father, is an intimacy in itself whereby we can call him, when I pray personally, my Father. I can do that because he is my Father. And along with that, as I was looking through all this, along with that, there's a responsibility of being, we have that privilege of saying, my Father or our Father, but there's also a responsibility. It was understood that there was obedience involved because he is our Father, where we would listen to him as our Father, where we would obey him because he loves us, where we would obey him, which glorifies him, which glorifies God. The purpose of man. So when we see Jesus Christ pray, we're going to look at a couple of them. I can leave these notes out if anybody wants to just jot them down, or you can look them up. They're the prayers of Jesus Christ. So we're in the book of Matthew. Let's stay in the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And Matthew 11, 25, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. To reveal him as Father. Jesus Christ addressed God as Father. In the Greek, it's pater. Pater. It's in the Latin, you've probably heard of pater. Maybe you've heard of patriarch. It's all about the term father. Let's look at another one. Let's look at a chapter, which is a prayer of Jesus Christ to his Father. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Right before his crucifixion, heavy times. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Look at verse 21 in this prayer, this beautiful prayer about Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus and those who would believe on their word about us. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 24. How is he addressing God? Father. Father. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. When Jesus Christ was praying to God, he was praying to Father, his heavenly Father. My Father, he could pray that. Now, I'd like to go to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. This is in the garden when he's praying. Gospel of Mark chapter 14. He's praying to his Father. He's about to be apprehended, mocked, false trial, slandered, tortured, scourged, crucified, and die. That's what's about to happen. That's the context of this prayer in the garden. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, for the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So we see this term, Abba, Father. There's been a lot said about this term, Abba, Father. There are some scholars who say it's like saying Daddy. See that stack of books there? Each one of them, I'm looking up Abba. And you know what the definition for Abba is? You won't see Daddy in any of them. Not one. It's Abba, Father. You'll never see Abba without Father in the text. I have I have here, if you want to peek afterwards, I have all the places where Abba is used in the Greek, and it's always Abba o Pater. It's never just Abba. There's never one place where it's just Abba, where it's just Daddy. Nowhere. And I look up what Abba means. It's in the Chaldee, a derivative of a Semitic language, Hebrew. It means Father. Father. And it does say it's a term of intimacy, but you don't see the words, it's a term of endearment. But it's a term, because you know why it's intimate? Because it's Father, my Father. It's my Father, Jesus is saying. And the other only two places is that used, only two other places, and it's regarding the Holy Spirit, our sonship, and our relationship with the God, with God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. In itself, calling God our Father is a privilege. In itself, to be able to address God as Father is an intimate thing. It doesn't need to be carried further to, you know, Daddy. It was a term that adults used, not just a term a child used. It was Father. It means Father. It means that person's Father. It was used in the home. It was that person's Father. Where Zeb, you could call Dean Father. And I love that about you, because many times you refer to him as Father. I'm so glad you're here today. I've heard it, and it's so special to me, and I've always admired you for that. But God, in his word, when it says Abba, Father, it's Father, my Father. It's Abba, O Pater. And in itself, that relationship that we have, that God is Father, is a privilege enough. And it's intimate enough. Now, I'm not saying you can't call God Dad or Daddy or Papa or whatever you want to. I knew a guy that called him Pappy. But Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. He called him Father. And my Father. And he knew who his Father was. And he had that right. And he had that privilege. And you know what you and I have? That right and that privilege to, when we go to God in prayer, we can address him as Father. My Father. And when we're together, our Father. Isn't it just so beautiful? And Jesus in his prayers, this is the only place you see that Abba, Father. And Abba means Father. If we go to the Gospel of Matthew and we look at this very section, it's my Father. If we look in the book of Luke, it's Father. Same event, same time, same prayer, falling down, asking God if they could take the cup, you know, if we could do something about this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. Same event. And it's my Father. It's Father. And when he says, Abba, Father, it's Father, my Father. In fact, in Matthew, it's translated this way: Father of me. Father of me. Isn't that beautiful? And who does Jesus Christ teach his disciples? And we have it in the Word of God, where we can address God with all assurance that it's true. as my Father, as our Father. That's how he taught his disciples to pray. That's how he prayed. And, you know, it's intimate enough to have that privilege to address him as my Father, to address him as our Father. And on this Father's Day, what rejoicing that is that we have, where we have a Heavenly Father. We have our Heavenly Father. How many times did Jesus said, your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father, teaches them to pray, our Father. In his resurrected body, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That relationship that we have with our God, where we have received Holy Spirit today as Christians, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, we cry why? Because he didn't give us a spirit of fear. But we have the Spirit whereby we cry, Father, my Father. We have that right. We have that privilege. We have that Spirit that God has given unto us. And in Galatians, the only other place it's used, that Abba is used, it's regarding sonship. It's regarding Spirit. And I just thought I'd throw that out there today. And that when we pray, we have that privilege of really knowing that God is our Father. Amen? Amen. Amen.